This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Again departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and he touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He's done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. In the first verse of our passage today, Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon, which was outside of Judea, Samaria, and it was actually northwest of Galilee. This means it was Gentile territory. Now, even though Jesus is already well known there, it's still Gentile territory. So what does this mean? It means that the Lord has always intended to include all nations in his plan of salvation. Paul talks of the pattern of the gospel going first to the Jews, then to the Greeks or the Gentiles. This was the case for Elijah, who delivered the message of a drought to Ahab in Israel first, then goes to a widow who lives in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus now has already ministered in Israel, so now he goes to Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus shows us that his ministry goes past any national or ethnic boundaries. So now, a Syrophoenician woman comes to Jesus. She is thought to be a Sidonian. What we know is that she had a serious and desperate need. And because of that, she sought out Jesus. The passage tells us that this woman's daughter was demon-possessed. Thankfully, the text doesn't go into any of the gory details of the actual condition of the daughter because of the possession, like the little boy in Mark chapter 9, where we hear about him foaming at the mouth and falling down, and he often falls into the fire, etc. It's enough to know that this little girl is demonized. The mother finds out that the Lord is in town, and she seeks him out. What does the passage tell us about how she approaches Jesus? Our text today says that first, she fell at his feet. Then she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. These two details are very important. Why? In her grieved condition, she fell at his feet. Yes, it shows she's desperate. But she's probably at wit's end and knows that there's no one else who can help her daughter except Jesus. Period. Not one. But here's another key to this. Even in her desperation, she shows humility. She knows who she is, and she now knows who he is. So she falls before the Lord Jesus, knowing he is the one who can bring her the answer that she needs. Then she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She doesn't stop with one time saying, well, Lord, you know, please cast out the demon. This isn't one time and done. She's probably at his feet saying, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, cast out the demon from my precious daughter. Please, Lord, Lord, please, please, cast out the daughter from my precious little girl. Repeatedly, because that says she kept asking. Now, most of us probably have our question about why Jesus responded to her as he did. Jesus responded by saying, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. But note the words, let the children be filled first. He's giving us a small hint here about his intentions. Remember also the pattern to the Jews first, then to the Greeks or the Gentiles. The children are the Jews, so they get to eat first. Then there's the reference to little dogs. In the ancient Near East, a dog was an unclean animal, yet the Greek here is little dogs and possibly even means pets. The woman isn't deterred by this in the least. She's ready. She's been thinking about this. So she replies with, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Note here that she calls Jesus Lord. And it's the honorific divine sense, not this, oh my Lord, you know, speaking to a prince or a duke or somebody like that. So she calls him Lord. This tells us that she had heard of him and had known and knew of his healing power. She responds with faith. Even the pets get to eat the crumbs. Even those lowly creatures get to eat the table scraps. In today's terms, she might have said that even the dogs at home get a doggy bag from what's left over after you eat out. What do we learn from this? The woman didn't give up. She didn't quit. She was determined to get the needed answer. So she went to the Lord with humility and respect. She didn't demand anything from Jesus. Jesus, I deserve to have this miracle. No, she went to him and said, Lord, please. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. And she kept after him until she got what she needed, which was healing and deliverance for her daughter. Now, what's in it for us here? First, we go to the Lord humbly. Now, we're now blood-bought children of the King, and we're heirs of the kingdom, but we need to remember who the King still is. Who is the King? Jesus. Jesus. So we go to the Lord with humility and respect. Then she kept after it until she got what she needed, which was healing and deliverance. So we have to remember that too. We may be children and slaves of the Lord, so we again reproach him with humility, but we also never give up. Yes, I know I've said this many times, yet how often are we still tempted to throw in the towel and give up if we don't get our answer, say, even after the first 5 or 6 times we pray for something? How many times do we say, well, yeah, I've already prayed about that. You know, it's not going to do any good to go any further. Like that woman who had the issue of blood. She punched through this crowd until she was finally able to grab hold of the hem of Jesus' garment. She didn't give up. And this Gentile woman was so determined to get her answer that she kept asking. The need was real, and she knew she needed an answer. The one answer that meant deliverance for her daughter. What was the result? Well, Jesus said, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. She received her answer. She got what she was after. Now let's understand something. This does not mean that if you decide you're going to ask the Lord for a Rolls Royce, a private jet, or a yacht, that all you have to do is really be humble and keep asking till you get it. The woman had a real need. She was in a crisis and nearly on meltdown mode. And we don't have to wait until the panic sets in, but let's take away from the passage that the woman's need was real. Not a product of her imagination and not a desire of the flesh. Next, the passage tells us Jesus hiked all the way to the Decapolis side of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus did a lot of walking in between. When he got there, which was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee from Tyre and Sidon, which is along the Mediterranean coast, they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. This man's need was real too. He was deaf and had a speech impediment. So Jesus took the man aside and put his fingers in the man's ears. Now, why would he do that? Because we're talking about Jesus taking his fingers and sticking them in this other person's ears. Well, first of all, the dude, if he was deaf, he couldn't hear Jesus say, "I'm getting ready to heal you." So he put his fingers in his ears to let the man know that Jesus is getting ready to take care of that need. Now then he spits and touches the man's tongue. In Jewish culture, spitting is a sign that something is being rejected. Oh, phooey! You ever seen a movie like Fiddler on the Roof or something where the guys all spit together? In this case, Jesus was showing us that he is coming against that man's speech impediment. Phooey, this thing is garbage. And so he touches the man's tongue, then he sighed. And this shows us that Jesus' heart ached at the toll sin has taken on God's creation. So with a sigh, Ephatha, means be opened. The man was healed, speaking plainly. In so many cases, speech is hindered by our hearing difficulties. We can't hear the words being spoken, so we don't know how to speak them clearly ourselves. But the text says in verse 35 that he spoke plainly. This tells us how thorough the miracle was. He was able to speak plainly immediately. So Isaiah 35, 5 through 6 speaks of the Messiah opening the ears of the deaf and making the mute to speak. This miracle here with the man with the speech impediment and who was deaf is a sign that Jesus was the man who John the Baptist prophesied that he was going to be. That Jesus was then and is now the Messiah. Because he's doing miracles that only the Messiah is supposed to be able to do. By the way, that also includes raising the dead, and he did that at least three times that we can see in the scriptures. So from today's passage, we can learn this. Be humble before the Lord. Remember who he is and remember who we are. Be persistent and know that we can pray expecting an answer. And we can be humble and persistent believing for an answer because Jesus is the one he told us he was. Messiah, Lord, and Emmanuel, God with us. So be humble and never give up. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.